This is the State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Each week, Joe Hudson offers a little slice of life. His column in the Statesville Record and Landmark covers those moments of families and friends. Now, these little moments are important in their own right, but they often are the stuff of big cultural shifts, the changing South, evolving politics and race relations, transitions in families and religious life. Joe's essays have now been collected into a big book. Big decisions are best made with hot dogs. And he's here now, Joe Hudson. Welcome to the State of Things. Good to have you here.
Frank, good to be here today.
It is good to have you here. So how long have you been writing this column?
This column is now has lurched into its fifth year. We don't know how these things happen, Frank. We wake up and say, my God, you know, every week for 5 years, we've cranked out an idea and somebody liked it.
You have been telling stories, though, and on the public speaking circuit for much longer than that and collecting these stories, right?
Yes, sure have. All the way back, I traveled with a gospel group, and on stage I tell stories, sing songs. And yeah, I've been telling stories for quite a while, coffee houses, remember those days, you know, and all that. So, yeah, I've been doing that for quite a while.
Well, maybe we should get a sample, because I love your story about country basketball. Tell us about country basketball.
Country. We say for a lot of people do not know this, but there is city basketball and there is country basketball. Now, city basketball, Frank, this is something that was invented by men of learning, education around 1861. City basketball is very recognizable. What you got in city basketball? You got boundaries. You got lines. You got like a foul line. And like a city basketball, that's played on like a court. It might be asphalt. It might be wood. It could be in a building. And they'll have a goal. And the goal will have a nice basket on it. It'll be a metal rim and a basket, and it hangs there. And the whole idea of city basketball is to score more points than your opponent. Now, in city basketball, Frank, they have rules. You don't gouge, you don't hit, you don't bite, you don't do. There are certain things that you do, and there are things called foul shots, and you can get things out of bounds and this sort of a thing. It was a wonderful game, city basketball. It was built really on the foundation of civilization, Frank. It's sort of an extension of civilization itself. It comes up with all the rules and all the organization. And then there's country basketball. Now, country basketball is played on dirt. Packed dirt, dirt that tractors have rolled over day after day. It's packed, it's dusty, and it can be done anywhere, Frank. It could be a backyard. It could be around barns. Usually you got to have a tree or you got to have a building, because you've got to go find an old fruit basket. That's what we did. And people say, well, you find a basket and knock the bottom out. Frank, we didn't have baskets with bottoms. You understand what I'm saying to you, man? To find one with a bottom, your daddy would kill you if you tore the bottom out. So we would find an old basket, nail it on a tree or the side of a building. And then the oldest kid is the one who determined the boundaries. Now, the boundaries would be where that car engine half sticking out of the ground. That's going to be one, and it go down to where the tree stump was, and where that oil can was laying over there. That was going to be the other corner of the court, and you'd get all that. And the foul line was wherever it's supposed to be. You know, it's wherever the biggest kid said you could stand and take shot. So it was serious bit. And the thing about country basketball that's so much different than city basketball, it was not about scores. Nothing that flimsy. Oh, no. Country basketball is not about more points. Country basketball is not about winning. Country basketball, Frank, it's about survival. We boys would come on. I mean, you talk about rumble, those gangs in New York, we laugh at that kind of stuff. But when we come on a court, I mean, we would rattle our antlers. We would stomp the ground. We spit. We say things. And we would choose up sides. And the whole deal was to get that ball in the basket. Now, if you had to bite, gouge, use grape shot, bear traps, it did not matter, buddy. The whole deal was you were going to get that ball in that basket and your team was going to help you. Their job was to knock everybody out of the way. And everybody knows this, Frank. Coming into the game, we know this. There are no careers here, Frank. This is life. We've got to survive this thing. And so we would start playing. This particular time I'm talking about, it was a big day. It was a hot day. It was the kind of day where you just sweat. God basted your soul with the heat. And anybody who's grown up in Eastern North Carolina knows the kind of heat I'm talking about. It's thick. You can only breathe But we were playing country basketball, and we were playing, and suddenly I had the ball. And I was one of those guys that was picked like third from last. You know, I wasn't the best and I wasn't the worst. I was the guy, everybody, you like to read books. Well, that right there, you weren't going to get picked first right off the bat doing that. But nevertheless, I was good enough to be able to play. So they had given me the ball. Somehow I got it. And I remember looking up, and my guys were making a path for me from back of the court all the way. There were bodies everywhere, man. I mean, guys moaning, groaning. You could hear bones crunching, people cussing, people yelling, people falling all down. And they had opened up a way for me to the goal. And I began to dribble that ball. Man, I dribbled, and it hit that hard packed us. And I was going, and I was coming up to the goal. And I decided I would, instead of just a layup, I'd go up and I would dunk this thing. Gives a little class, Frank. I mean, we were country people, but we like a little class, a little pizzazz, a little bazanga. So I'm going up, and I'll never forget, I was going up. And my feet left the ground, and I was about 3 or 4 feet off the ground going up to the goal. And I was raising my hands to put that ball up that basket, when I realized I did not have a basketball. The ball was gone. What had happened? There's nothing more worthless, man, than to be 4 feet up in the air under a basketball goal without a basketball. You understand what I'm saying to you, man? You understand what I'm saying? And what had happened, I knew. Ronnie, the one that was the most hated kid on the court, he was short. And we called him the crab. Because when he ran, he kind of ran sideways, and he was real short. And what he would do, if you didn't watch out, he would slap the ball out of your hand, pass it to his brother, and, of course, he would make the shot. Well, when I had gone up, Ronnie had slapped that ball out of my hand. And there went my glory, Frank. There went everything in my whole life right then. And I remember I looked down, and when I looked down, below me was little Ronnie. He was grinning because his brother already had the ball. And one thing you don't do in country basketball, you never stand still. That's called a target. You understand? And so I'm looking down, and little Ronnie had stood still, and he was watching his brother. He had a smirk on his face. And so when I came down, I lifted my arm, and I got my elbow just right. And when I came down, I got it down right on the bridge of his nose. Man, I came down. I mean, he went down like a sack of seed. He hit the ground screaming, moaning, blood, snot, everywhere. It was all over his shirt. He hit the ground, went in the fetal position. Man, I mean, he was moaning, he was screaming, he was whimpering and everything. Of course, we're playing the ball, and he was alive, so we did what you're supposed to do. We took his body, we threw it under a tree. Somebody said there was a pulse in it because he was moaning, and we kept on playing. Well, I'll never forget that day we lost. We lost that day, and the game was over. And little Ronnie was over there balled up, and his brother John went over there and picked him up. And he was hobbling to the car, and on the way he looked at me. His face was red, caked in blood and dust and dirt. And he glared at me, and he held up his hand. And out of his hand came the one finger of universal disdain, Frank, and it was aimed right at me. And I remember I looked back, and I grinned, and I gave him the universal goodbye sign with my own, you know. And we just glared at each other. And then he went away. They got in the car, and I didn't know it. But his father had taken a job in another city, and they moved away. Last time I saw little Ronnie like that. And life went on. And I went through high school, and I fell in love. And then I fell out of love, and then I fell in love, and then I fell out of love. And I went into a rock band, Frank. I was going to be famous, me and Bob Dylan. We were going to run around. I was going to play for him and Paul McCartney. And it's the way life is going to be. And then I went to college, and I took exams, and I got very active in my church. And I was like a youth minister for a while. And one night, years after, I had to take some exams. And our church is located in Blackjack, North Carolina. We went to the original Blackjack Free Will Baptist Church. This is where all Baptists come from. People don't know this, but it's where it all comes from. But at any rate, I had to get back to Greenville, which was 20 miles away, to take an exam that night. And so I cut my Bible study short, jumped in the car, sped out of the parking lot, rocks flying everywhere. I'm going down a dark country road at night, 70 miles an hour, 80 miles an hour, 95 miles an hour. I'll never forget. The road had V'd down to just the hood of the car, man. There were pine trees on both sides. And then being a spiritual person, I noticed the car was suddenly lit up with sort of a spiritual blue light. a dim blue light lit up the car. And then, of course, I looked in the rearview mirror. It was one of a North Carolina State Highway patrolman behind me and wanted me to pull over. And I went, oh, no. So I pulled over. And, of course, I'd been to church. So I took my Bible, laid it on the dash. I wasn't I was a good person. I was a person who believed in law, Frank, a person who needed to, who was part of society, who was a good person. And I'll never forget that trooper. He got out of the car. He put that hat on. He's about 6'3". And I thought, oh, man, here we go. And so I moved the Bible closer where he could see. And I was going to tell him I'd been to church. And he walked up and he said, I need to see your driver's license. And I pulled him out, and he looked at it, and he said, Joe Hudson. And the voice sounded kind of familiar, a little nasally. And I looked up, and I'll never forget. Little Ronnie had grown up, Frank, and he'd gotten a job with the North Carolina State Highway Patrol. He bent down. I'll never forget what he told me that night on that country road. He bent way down. He looked at me, and he said, played any basketball lately? And he pulled out his ticket book, and from that point on, and what he did later, as everybody will agree, country basketball was perfectly legal.
Joe
so
Hudson.
I learned a lesson at great expense.
I think if you read that one actually in the book, it's not going to sound quite the same way if I read it. Joe Hudson's collection of essays, Big Decisions Are Best Made with Hot Dogs. Joe is a columnist with the Statesville Record and Landmark. So story like that. Now, see, that's it. If you tell stories like that, you try to pack those in because your columns are pretty compact.
Oh, yeah. Column 600 words.
Yeah.
600 words, which is kind of tough. The column, the stories in the book are the full stories.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have, as I tell my editor, I don't have that draconian hand of his, you know, holding me back. You know.
Now, you're a little curmudgeonly, too. You know, you're one of those columnists. Well, a little.
Well, I grew up in a tobacco field, for God's sake.
Well, all right. This is and running away from guys like Ronnie. So
yeah.
I guess that can change your attitude. But, you know, when you now you talk about Thanksgiving, you kind of pick on the young folk.
Yeah.
Where they're texting while you're trying to eat. So
oh, yeah.
You have those ideas.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, a family comes in. And it's what I like to write about everyday things. Everybody comes in. You've got the ones that's a little miffed with your mother. Somebody might be a little upset with somebody. Some of them come in. They're all happy and everything. Like our family gets together, and it's a little bit of everybody, man. It's a little bit of everybody. You've got your vegans and all this, and it's okay. We're all Baptists. It's okay. It's a good thing.
Well, so how do you decide? Where do your stories come from?
My stories come from just everyday life. In fact, I've got one right now. When I walk out of here, you'll be in one of them. It's everyday moments that kind of – people tell me it's kind of a cross between Louis Grizzard, Garrison Keillor
yeah.
with R.C. Cola, you know, well, something like that.
We do try to capture a kind of a version of the South, a way of looking at the South and understanding the South. You even got, if I can get the short version of your mother, who is a force of nature, the way you tell
it. Oh, yes, my mother, yes. My mother and not too long ago had told me she was going to take up golf. The woman is 76 at the time, you know. But she was going to take up golf. It was an amazing thing. You know, this religious, this is a woman, she's 4'10". Okay? You don't mess with mama. You do not mess with her. But yeah, she was going to take up golf. And she's a wonderful, I love my mother, and she's listening right now. Love you, mama, but this is the way it goes. But at any rate, she's taught Sunday school forever. Her and God put some of the Bible together, I think, at times, you know. But she's taught, this is a woman who could get her deer every season if she wanted to, you know. And so she told me she was going to take up golf. And I love her to death. She's the one who taught me, who gave me a love for reading. We went to the Shepherd Memorial Library, and this was back. Now, remember this. This was back, and I was going to read Adolf Hitler's Mein Kampf. And because I'd come in, I told her, I came in the kitchen one day, and I said, Mama, yes. You know, just because a preacher says God's real does not mean that there is a God. You know, when you're 12, you're so intellectual. And I was gifted when I was 12, 14 years old. And so she put everything down, and I forget it. We got in a car and we went to the library, and she checked out Mein Kampf. And the librarian did not want her to do it. And you don't tell Doris Hudson she's not going to do something like that. And I remember my little mom just looked at her and says, yes, he is. And we signed these papers and all this stuff. And she gave it to me. She said, now read it. so you'll know something, you won't be ignorant. She gave me a dictionary, a Bible, and me and Kampf. And she said, read it so you won't be stupid. And I remember I read it. And to this day, I've got two Bibles in my office. I've got Bibles in the house. I'm active in my church, and I'm glad Hitler's dead. You know. But at any rate, she informed me she was going to do this. And so I'll never forget, we were sitting out there talking. And she said, so how does it work? How many strikes do you get at the ball? I said, Mama, it's not strikes. You know, it's strokes, Mama. And you get one. You get one, you might take a month. Well, I'm going to need more. Any problem with that? And of course, honestly, Frank, I just looked at her, and honestly, I think I heard angel wings beating. You know, there's a little panic in heaven maybe that day. But that's the kind of life we live out there. It's full.
Joe, thanks so much for being with us. Joe Hudson, a columnist for the Statesville Record and Landmark. His essays have been collected in the book Big Decisions Are Best Made with Hot Dogs. You can find out more about it at our website, stateofthings.org. Our program's produced by Nicole Campbell, Alex Granados, Laura Lee, and Sean Wen. Robin Copley is our technical director, Brent Wolf, the news director, and this is North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.